In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Hoth-Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I'm joined by my always energetic co-host, Gay Douglas. How's it going, Gay?
I'm having a marvelous day. I hope you are too, Ashley, as well as our wonderful listeners at home.
Yeah, well, we are releasing this episode on the first day of school for many kids in Ontario. And as the mom of three kids, the return to school significantly shifts my routines. Gone are the carefree days of summer. Even though the weather is still relatively warm, I am already craving sweaters, autumn leaves, and all things pumpkin. My planner seems to be more important than ever in September as extracurriculars return and work seems to accelerate with meetings and new projects. September brings a can-do energy that seems to increase our productivity. But how can we harness these feelings to optimize our outputs while avoiding burnout? So our show today focuses on 6 tips to help you have the best work-life balance for fall. And we say 6, but interestingly enough, we both come up with 3 tips and we haven't shared them with each other. So who knows? Maybe we came up with the same 3, but we're going to find out. So I'm going to share my 3. Gay may jump in and out of the conversation. And then she's going to share.
And she usually does.
And then Gay is going to share her 3. So we'll see how that goes. So my first tip, I'm calling it name what matters. So with a rush of September energy, we can be susceptible to overcommitting. We can say yes to things that sound exciting in the moment, even when they don't necessarily fit with our priorities, the priorities of our organization, who we work for, and our own career goals, as well as our own personal selves. So I've adapted this tip from Kendra Adachi. She is also known as the Lazy Genius, and she has 2 great books. Her whole principle is be genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And so she asks her audience 3 questions, and I'm going to go through those questions and I'm going to relate them specifically to work and work-life balance. So her 3 questions are, what could matter, what does matter, and what matters most? And she takes her audience through these steps to really narrow down and name what matters. So she starts with the first question, what could matter? And at this point, you would list all the things. You would just go crazy. Everything that you can think of. Continuing existing programming. Reviving old partnerships. Connecting to a new audience. If you think of work life as balance, feel free to include things like that could matter from your personal life. Being home for dinner. Being able to drop off the kids at the school bus. Taking vacation days to extend long weekends to visit family and friends who live out of town. Just name it all. When you have this list, you're going to review it and answer the next question. What does matter? Maybe you have a thriving community of partnerships and it's not necessary to focus on more. So you're going to cross off reviving old partnerships. And you go through your whole list until you really narrow down these what could be priorities. Then you're going to finish with the last question. What matters most? So you're going to review your list again for the top 3 to 5 items, and you're going to let these shape your fall. Perhaps write or type them out so that you can check them against your actions and your commitments so that you're able to focus on what matters most. And I love this idea because I think I am guilty of being someone who's like, yes, I want to be part of that initiative. Yes, let's do it. Of course we can help. Gay is also like that, where she will, you know, jump on the bandwagon when something sounds exciting, and then we can find ourselves pulled in many directions. Would you agree, Gay?
I would definitely. I totally get it.
Yeah. And so in the last few years, we've really, really dialed down to our deliverables, I think, and what we want to do for the benefit of our audience or the programs that we serve.
I think we've come to really understand our capacity and realizing what you and I, as a very small staff team at Literacy Link, can actually accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to name what we're doing, especially working in a team, so that we're able to focus on that. So that's my first tip, name what matters. My second tip is to plan and schedule meetings as soon as you know that they are needed. And a big shout out to Adult Basic Education Association for this one. Literacy Link Niagara, we are part of an advisory team for a short-term project right now, actually in its second phase. And instead of doing the normal, let's hold a meeting and then we'll schedule the next at the end of it and so on and so on, they gave us a list of meetings for the entire year. I was able to put them in my planner. I knew right off the bat that there was a few that I couldn't attend. And Gay and I are able to juggle those because we're both part of the team. And we don't have to then participate in these regular doodle polls that might come through or emails to find new meeting times and do that kind of negotiation. And at Literacy Link Niagara, we update our calendar with input from our programs in September. So we usually launch a calendar in April because that's the beginning of our fiscal, but we really drill down our calendar in September because, again, it's that autumn energy that people seem to really want to put things on paper. And in fact, the majority of our September literacy service planning meeting will be about the schedule until the end of this fiscal. And it's very helpful for us to know when we're going to be meeting, for our programs to know, and it helps just shape the year. I think that's part of naming what matters, putting those meetings as a priority and getting them down on paper.
And Ashley, I would also say that I think that our programs and the folks with whom we work in the community will appreciate the heads up too, because we know how busy and swept up they will be at that time of year. So the sooner I think we can get dates out to people, the better.
Yeah. And also I think because we're navigating this, the last podcast that will have been released is the how to manage hybrid meetings. We're also not just delivering people dates, we're delivering them ways to meet. So is the meeting virtual? Is it in person or is it both? Is it a hybrid? And there's just so much to balance these days with meetings that by doing it all at once, we really ensure that people attend meetings because they have the heads up, or we hope that helps.
Well, we do our best.
We do our best. Yeah. We can't provide food virtually. That's the one thing we need to figure out.
Yeah. Those people miss out.
Yeah. Anyway, my third and final tip from me is to batch and automate. And in the last year, I've started to rely more and more on automated technology. Part of this is because I was unable to find childcare And luckily for me, I've actually secured it for September. But I've had difficulty. And so I haven't been able to be as flexible with my working hours. And so I've relied on automated technology. So if you take these podcasts, for example, instead of treating each episode as a separate task, I batch similar tasks. So I'm working on multiple episodes at the same time. We often record 3 to 4 shows on one day. I'll then batch the editing of those shows. So I am repeating the same action with each show because I'm already in the editing software, and it just makes sense to kind of repeat the similar actions when I'm doing the editing. Then I move on to marketing, and I'm in my marketing program, and we're doing that piece. Then I'm uploading all of those 4 shows to Anchor FM, then creating all the show notes, writing 4 emails announcing the shows and marketing schedule, and then scheduling the sending of emails using the scheduling feature on Gmail, which I have talked about before on this show, and I absolutely love. So I can actually schedule all the marketing on Facebook using the Meta Manager tool. And that means that I can cross off 2 months of podcast shows off my to-do list, perhaps 2 months before the last one launches. So it's really a great way to do it. By batching, I am repeating the same actions over and over again. I'm using an assembly line mentality. I'm able to avoid having to reopen software programs and switch my brain to a new task. Somehow it also helps with a feeling of overwhelm. Because if my to-do list says edit shows and I check it off, it feels more accomplished than checking off that I have completed all the tasks for one show, but I still have 3 to go. And by automating, I get to finish tasks on my schedule. I love to check things off my list and move on to the next task. By utilizing scheduling tools, I'm able to fully invest myself in my next to-do. And keeping a shorter to-do list helps with my mental load and means I can be more present in the projects that I'm currently working on. So my suggestion is, if you're not doing it already, to batch and automate your work.
You know what, Ashley? I think you have now identified a theme for an upcoming podcast, because I think more people should be aware of the various tools that are out there and how they can help them. And it's certainly not within my knowledge base. So I just learned something already. So I'm going to assume that might be a really valuable discussion point, because I think a lot of people would like to take advantage of the tools that exist.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, I'm using free software that's available to everyone. So I just learned in the last year about the Facebook Meta Manager, and you can use it for Facebook and Instagram, and it's wonderful. You could do your whole year of social media posts if you had that lined up. So yes, there's some fabulous, very helpful tools out there. Fabulous. What do you got for us, Gay?
Well, the good news is I have 3 very separate, very different strategies for getting back into the fall swing, although there is a consistent theme, I think, based on at least one of your hints. So I'm going to announce the 3 R's. Mine all start with an R. They happen to be refocus, refresh, and renegotiate. Yeah. So let's explore each one separately. So the first one that came to mind was refocus. And I think I was just thinking about, as you said, Ashley, you know, the summer cotton shorts go away and out come the warm, cozy sweaters again, and the leaves start to turn, and we just naturally get back into more of a routine. And so what does that mean in terms of refocus? I think that as the kids go back to school, as adults, we might want to think about what we want to get into. It may be a good time to start a new hobby, you know, take up crocheting if you thought it would be something that you might enjoy. Take on a new pastime. Have you been wanting to increase your fitness? or your general health. Studies say that September is one of the best times to start. As routines pick up, excuse me, as everyone else's routine is picking up, for you to also create some new routines for yourself. It's also a good time as the kids go back to school for us as adults to go back to school, to find an online course, to attend a course now in person. How wonderful that would be. So if you've had a passion or an interest for some time, you might want to return to some sort of, I don't even want to call it professional development, just do it for your own development, your own knowledge, your own interest base. And finally, my final point around refocusing is that don't forget in the fall, you may want to return to school, you may want to pick up a new hobby or pastime, but there are nonprofit organizations out there who typically are recruiting, some all year long, but many will be in recruitment mode in the fall as their routines as nonprofit organizations pick up. So whether or not you want to serve on the board of directors, or you just want to really get into the grassroots frontline work of the organization, consider volunteering for a not-for-profit organization where you can share your passion and your time. So that's refocus. My second one is, I think I'm going to go to refresh. Refresh, this is a really simple one and one that I am beginning this year for the first time. And that is actually scheduling time in my calendar for me. Given my recent experience and my typical way of supporting other people, is I often overcommit to that task. And so I am really cherishing time and valuing time I want to invest in my own interests, my own health, my own interests, and things I may not have had the time to do in the past. So I am refreshing my calendar, refreshing my plans over this number of months by actually putting in bright pink in my day book. And I am still an old school paper calendar person, but I'm actually scheduling time on a regular basis, not every day, but every couple of days, there is gay time in my calendar. So that's how I'm hoping to stay refreshed.
Have you heard of time blocking, Gay?
No, tell me.
So time blocking is a really cool tool that's, I think, probably up and coming. If you went onto Pinterest and Googled time blocking, you would be able to print off a ton of free worksheets. Basically, it's a week. So the days of the week are across the top. The times of the day are down the bottom. So you, or down the side. So, you know, Monday you can block from, you know, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. all in 1 hour blocks. And then the next is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all on one page. And the nice thing about that is you can actually create somewhat of a routine, a flexible routine in your schedule. So for example, I have started to build a time block schedule for my family. That includes my work for September, and it has blocked like the days that I'm going to try to, you know, do specific chores around the house, or the days that I'm going to block to answer emails, or the days that I'm going to work on maybe more in-depth projects like podcasting, things like that. And so you could do one specifically for work. You could do a blended one like I have, or you could do one for your family. But I have blocked in self-care time because it seems to be, you know, necessary with all of the.
Absolutely. We both, I think, because we are caregivers to our families, and we just have that role in many cases that we have. We like to support others and encourage others, that it unless we do consciously and intentionally put that time aside, we could easily just sit all day long and and in either in front of our computers or on the telephone. And that's not a good use of time. So yeah, we are much better. And if I can sort of flag a theme before I even go on with my final hint, I'm also seeing a theme from what Ashley has said, and this one in particular around scheduling time, is that there are tools and resources and programs out there that can help with organizing time, and that we often either don't know about them or haven't utilized them effectively. So I think that's important for people to know. So thanks, Ash, for that addition. My final one is renegotiate. And I was speaking with a friend the other day, and she was talking about some general dissatisfaction she was having in her job. And we started talking about what could change in her job. And she said, well, I've always been hesitant to raise these things with my immediate supervisor, some of the things that are troubling me about my job. And I said, well, tell me, first of all, what those things are. And she, things like her hours and the teams that she was required to work within and some of the tasks that she had to do. And I said, well, have you ever considered sitting down with your supervisor and explaining to her? She might be very open to looking at renegotiating your agreement with her. Now, that agreement might be covered with dust because you may have been in that position for 18 years. But it's really a good time, I find, from a management point of view, that if any changes may be more beneficial to the organization as a whole, at the same time as benefiting the people who are working within the organization, maybe fall is the time to book that appointment and to sit down with the person to whom you report. And if you haven't had a performance review in some time, and goodness knows we don't get a lot of performance reviews typically in the not-for-profit sector, maybe this is a chance to just book half an hour to share maybe some new ways of utilizing your time with your employer that you can prove will be more effective, more efficient, and at the end of the day, more beneficial to you in terms of really doing the work that you enjoy most, or getting the training that you think would really help you in your job, or providing you with opportunities to progress or learn new skills in your job. So that's my final one, renegotiate. So renegotiate your working life.
Great. I love that one. And I think it's particularly important since a lot of people are negotiating right now whether to go back to the office full time or not. And if you've been successful at home or even working partially at home, well, you've already proven that you should be able to continue to do that. And I know there is a lot of negotiating around that going on right now. So
as we speak,
yeah, as we speak, and you've got the evidence that you can do it if you're going into to negotiate that. Anyway, so those are our six different tips. And I'm going to offer a personal challenge to our listeners right now that I am going to try myself, that I actually heard on another podcast that I listened to. And it's called The Mom Hour. And one of the hosts this week was talking about how she often feels like as soon as school starts, we move directly into autumn. And, you know, she's trying to wear those sweaters and it's still really hot outside. And she thinks that she can't take her kids to the beach anymore because, you know, now we're in September. So I am going to challenge you, just like I'm challenging myself, to try to drag summer out a little bit longer into September as we have still the warm weather. If you can get to the beach, get to the beach, hold on to some of that kind of carefree thinking of summer as we roll into fall.
And treasure every last second of it. Absolutely. It's a long, cold winter ahead. And the longer we can live the warm, carefree, more or less carefree weeks and months of summer, that will be excellent.
Yep. So thanks for listening, listener. And we look forward to getting connected with you next time.